John and Lance.
I think we talked about this. The number of old people snorting cocaine now?
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. Rank the defense. Go ahead. Try it. See how easy it is. Where is he? Is he there?
Right, Chuck.
Go ahead. Rank the defense.
Okay. One, Will Anderson.
Okay. Agree.
Two, I'm going to go with Stingley.
Okay. I agree.
Three, I'm going with Hunter because I love Rush. You're going Lassiter. I'm going Hunter. Four, I'm going Lassiter. Five, I go, it takes a little bit of a drop off here, but five, I'm going to go, boom. Am I going to say Bullock? I mean, he's really productive.
Petrie? Right.
Oh, I'm sorry. Five, Petrie. Yeah, I'm sorry. Five is Petrie. Six, I'm going to say, I'm going to say Bullock, but you could say Alshire.
You're not going to say Blankenship?
No. Six, I don't say he's overrated, but he's okay. Mm. Six, I'll go Bullock.
I like Bullock.
Seven, Blankenship. Seven, Aziz. Eight, Blankenship. Nine.
Rankins.
I'm going to go Rankins ahead of Blankenship. Then I'm going to go Blankenship 9. Then I'm going Togiao 10 and Henry 11.
What about Toto?
Henry is 11. Henry Toto. Same guy.
Henry 12? You got Togiao?
Henry Togiao is 11? Tommy Togiao is 10. Oh. And Henry is also known as Toto is 11. I'm putting that linebacker who they gave an extension to. Like, I don't get that, but whatever. They extended him. Basically, they're playing the watch how many guys' contracts come up when CJ's due money. They got a bunch of them.
It was friendly, though, and the other thing is they don't have many linebackers.
Well, that's a problem right now, yeah. But that didn't mean you had to give him an extension. He was under contract this year. At some point, you got to do Bullock. You got to do Lassiter.
You didn't put Clowney in there anywhere.
Okay, 12 Clowney. I don't know. I don't care.
He had 9 sacks last year.
No, it's 8.5. But that's what D'Amico told me. 8.5. No, I guess Clowney 12. I'm not going to put Clowney ahead of any starters.
You're not putting?
No, I'm going only start. I'm going starters. I'm going my top 11 starters.
Okay.
So that's how they look for me. And if Tommy Togiao is your 10th, and Togiai, whatever. It's the same thing to me. I just got call that guy really good.
Do you think it's not important to know people's names?
You can call me Zierlein. I'm a guy who's been called Sirloin Steak, Zierlein, Zierlein. To me, I'm just like, whatever you call me,
Guantanamo.
Yeah.
Garnado.
Mm-hmm. Gartano. Yeah. You're talking to two guys, and you are Olalea, Olale, Delio.
Delio?
He's Deli Belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So.
Try that.
Well, I think he's really good. Go ahead.
The Rockets Christmas Day game is at what time?
No time.
That's a trick question.
They're not on Christmas
They're
Day.
They're not on Christmas again. No Rockets on Christmas again.
Man. I would think they might be a Christmas team.
Spurs and Knicks first.
Okay.
At 11
Makes sense.
Central. 1:30 is the Celtics and the Heat.
We're still doing the Celtics?
Yeah.
We're still doing the Heat?
Got Giannis.
Yeah, he'd have Giannis.
Oh, I guess, yeah. Lakers and Sixers.
We're still doing the Lakers?
Well, it's LeBron and going back to LA.
Oh, versus Luka. Yeah, that's a given, yeah.
At 7, it's the T-Wolves and OKC.
We're doing the T-Wolves?
You mean Anthony Edwards, one of the stars of the league?
Anthony Edwards, a reluctant star.
still a star.
Who gags against Oklahoma City. Could have been
Rockets,
though. He doesn't like playing Oklahoma City.
No one does except for the Spurs.
And then at 9:30, it's the Nuggets and Golden State.
Okay, we're definitely over the Nuggets.
And we're, Golden we're State? What is Golden State?
They still have Steph, and that's always going to be whatever. A draw.
That's a throwaway game. Nobody's going to care about that. They're all asleep by then.
That's fine. Just realize your place. Not on Christmas Day. Ain't nobody looking towards this team as exciting.
It is funny that they went from the exciting team with Kevin Durant to like, oh, that's that team with that guy with the burner. Why is Greece, why is there a team in Greece trying to take Nikola Jokic?
Because
Dimitrios Yannakopoulos, the Greek businessman who owns Panathinaikos Basketball Club in Athens, which has been a, they've been a major player for years, said he made a proposal to buy Nikola Jokic out of his final season of his current NBA contract and believes he can sign him away next summer. People are going to say, okay, now he's joking. Yannakopoulos told the Euro Insiders podcast, I did make a very serious proposal this year, both to his team and to him. I got a rejection. I know that he has one more year of a contract. Jokic has two seasons of $121.8 million left on his current contract, but the second season is a player option, giving him the freedom to leave. Here's the thing. This is a story to me. It's a non-story ever with probably every other player in the league except this one. And the reason is because he's won MVPs. He's won a title. He barely looks enthused to play basketball half the time, even though he can bust a triple-double in his sleep. He's one of these guys that I could see saying, eh, I'm just tired of NBA basketball. Like, if he liked Greece for any reason, if he wanted to be back overseas for any reason, I could see him doing something like this. This is the one guy I could see leaving an NBA team toward the end of his career and going and playing.
Do they have a horse track there?
Well, sure, you tell us.
They'll build one.
You're Greek. You tell us. Do they?
I don't know if they do.
I've never been to the motherland.
You're
you
German.
Have.
Do they have?
We don't have horse tracks in Germany.
Do they have any gelato in Germany?
Oof, I'm glad it went.
Yeah,
you know, gelato
is worldwide.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
I was happy it was gelato.
Yeah, he could have said something that got this show immediately fired.
Do
you?
Nervous.
You've been to Greece before, right?
Yeah, I've been to Greece.
Well, you should know. Have you not Googled horse tracks?
I never went to go for a horse.
Did you Google
Reagan
golf courses?
Ask Reagan. Reagan knows.
Do they have golf courses in Greece?
They have to.
Yes, they have golf courses in Greece. They have golf courses every country. Yes.
How do you know they have golf courses in Greece? Have you ever seen one?
Yeah.
People go there for, well, they used to go there for vacation. They still do, right?
Yeah.
They would have to have a golf course.
Yeah,
golf
like courses. $1. You can get a house for $46 there.
Okay. Greek golf courses.
They're busted.
The dunes. Trump National.
Oh, look at that. Okay.
Of course, that's Trump's got one. Oh, speaking of Trump, you know, he's a guy that likes limited government, except for when it comes to sports. Now he's telling FIFA, you better not. This is crazy to me. Like, Trump is doing this. FIFA, Trump warns replacing Infantino that it would be a terrible mistake to replace him. Why would he care about FIFA?
Because he's got Infantino in his back pocket.
That's exactly why.
Yeah.
Like, why would you care about who FIFA does? Like, honestly. Because, well, y'all do what y'all do. Yeah, it's all crooked over there anyway. It ain't going to matter.
Did you see when they were booing Brent, or when DeChambeau got his penalty stroke? Trump came to his defense because they're boys.
I know.
They play together.
Yeah, I mean, you might not want to back all the most scurrilous people. It's not a great look. Infantino. So Luis Figo, who's a former Real Madrid and Portugal midfielder, very respected, he said, today I join others from across our game and call for Infantino to resign as FIFA president. He's debased the office that he promised to elevate. He's lied, deceived, and tried to feather his own nest at the expense of the game he's supposed to serve. It's too late to save his dignity, but it's not too late to save football. He should go now. This guy's such a scumbag. I mean, Infantino, to try to sell off parts of the World Cup to private equity to try to make money for himself is just, that's like if we had, I don't even remember who it is that runs college football playoffs now because they made a switch. I can't remember who runs college football playoffs. What if that guy said, I'm going to sell and I'm going to profit. I'm going to sell off college football, part of this, to private equity, and then I'm going to make the – I get to pocket the money. We would lose our mind in this country, as we should, as we should. Oh, and as Josh Pate had reported, and it looks like it's coming to fruition, college football playoffs are going to expand to 20. So
thank God the
you don't have to be good to make the playoffs.
Thank God. Thank God.
I know. Good thing we're getting number 19 in there. Maybe Arkansas can make it in this year.
Apparently, while I wasn't supposed to be on the docket to have those conversations, maybe they got to it yesterday or this, or maybe it'll be this week. It'll be play-in games, so it won't be the 20th team. It'll be kind of set up like the NBA, where you have the 12 automatics who get in. And then you would have playing games.
So we're eliminating basically the big gap in waiting time in December.
I would.
Early December, yeah, we got to be
probably right after the season.
So you would have playing games to decide.
We had dead period anyway.
13 through 16. So yeah. 20.
Well, what if somebody has finals?
Well, I don't know that that's ever mattered, Lance.
Are they going to cancel if there's finals?
I think you have known.
How are you going to write your papers, Dell?
I think you've known for 30 years or more, whenever you stop being naive, that that has never mattered.
Maybe you could get your paper in on time, like this commercial about St. Arnold's. On time.
It's 8:20.
Get it in on time. St. Arnold's.
Yeah, St. Arnold. If you want to go to the website, St. Arnold is. You guys have known about St. Arnold forever. It's not St. Arnold's. It's St. Arnold. And go to StArnold.com. Click on private events. So as you guys probably have heard, you know, we're having a listener appreciation party. For the second year in a row, we're going to go to St. Arnold, and we're going to use their private event space because they've got a couple different event spaces, one for larger parties and one for smaller parties. You have any variety of events there. They have they've had weddings there. They certainly have had receptions there, friends and family celebrations. They've had family get-togethers where it can be a family reunion there. Company happy hours are huge. They have their own entertainment systems where they can, you know, get your slideshows going. So if you have PowerPoints, you need the microphone, where you've got a large, you know, group for your company happy hour, they can do that, where you can turn it into a business meeting or just a happy hour part. Holiday gatherings are huge. Thanksgivings and Christmases are really big. The parties there, you can call today to get yours booked whenever you like. And of course, corporate meetings, they have great food, so they can, you know, they can cater you. They've got cider, they've got beer, they've got non-alcoholic soft drinks, obviously waiting for you, their own root beer, which is really, really good. They've got a space for everyone, no matter how large or small your party. They have private spaces waiting for you. St. Arnold, all you have to do is go to the website, check out all the great food, the menu, the beer, head out there and enjoy the beer garden for yourself. But click on private events and find out how they can take care of your big party.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to John and Lance.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back. 713-780-3776. Elliot is here. It's not Elliot Page, right? It's not Elliot
Or
Page.
Elliot Gould. No, it's just not. Elliot.
Just Elliot. Okay. Elliot, what's going on?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, just Elliot, top 100 listener. Had a question for you guys. I'm going to be flying to St. Louis, and I'm going to Busch Stadium tonight. And I'm trying to hit every MLB stadium. This will be number 15. And I'm curious, how many ballparks have all three of you been to? Which is your favorite? Which is your least favorite? My favorite is Kauffman in Kansas City. I thought that was a great ballpark. That and the PNC in Pittsburgh. So I'm just curious of how many ballparks you guys hit, what you guys like, what you guys don't like. Hang up the question.
I haven't been to a bunch. John's better. I've gone to the New Yankees. I've gone to Washington. Gone to Philadelphia, Houston.
Tampa's the worst. I mean, it's not even close.
Yeah, Tampa. Tampa's terrible. Tampa gives you the blues.
Well, it's not even – it doesn't exist, right? It got torn apart, and I don't know.
Yeah, with the storm.
Yeah, I loved – well, I Wrigley in the outfield is about as good as it gets, the old atmosphere. Fenway's great. Coors is a nice part, really nice part.
Never been to Coors.
Coors is nice.
How's Dodger Stadium? You said
Dodger Stadium is really nice.
Oh, it is nice? Okay.
It is nice. It's real nice.
I told you, Eric Layton told me that the nicest he's ever been, and he's been in a few, was in San Diego.
Yeah. I haven't been to that yet. We got to go. We're going to do a golf trip next year to San Diego, so I think we're going to go to a game there. That'll be good. Yeah, there's, I mean, Yankee Stadium to me is antiseptic, so is Comiskey or whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been to, I'm just trying to think of other parks that are, that's about it. I haven't been to Pittsburgh, heard that's beautiful. San Diego, I want to go to. Those are two that I haven't been to that I really want to see because they do. They look great. San Francisco as well. That looks like a great park. Great park. But, yeah, go get it. Go get it. My buddy's doing that with his son. He's going to every park. I think they've hit 20-some. And that's a great dad and dad-son thing to do, go to every park. Yeah. I don't know if you're doing it by yourself, Elliot, if you're selfish or what. I don't know. But it's a great thing to do with your kid. Of course, I haven't done that with mine. But you know what? JT, get to the park yourself.
I have no kids who care about that stuff.
They don't?
Like going to baseball parks, 0%
care. Yeah, well,
JT's
not a huge baseball fan anyway.
0% care. I don't think they care about going to any different stadiums. They do care about going to a Don Tolliver concert, but
I don't even
not about going to,
I, don't even
I
know
need
what
to get
means.
To this stadium.
Did you see what happened in the Red Sox-Toronto game
I have
yesterday?
Never in my life seen this in
it's
my entire
unbelievable.
Life.
Unbelievable. So, first and third,
when
the
we
scoreboard
come back,
says in
when,
Toronto.
Oh, you don't want to tease it? You don't want to use it as a teaser? Let's tell people now. We don't care about breaks. Tell people
we
now
We
got to
hit
happened.
This break, Del? Is we, oh, we got a break right now? Oh, we just broke.
No, now just go break. Ahead. Go ahead, tell people.
All right.
This
real
is
quick.
Something you'd see in this real is quick. Honestly something you would see in
first
Little
and
League.
Third, seventh inning, 2-0 Toronto. Boston has first and third with two outs. Or they think it's two outs because the scoreboard says it's two outs. And everybody in the stadium thinks it's two outs apparently.
I doubt that cuz
well,
people
not
are
everybody,
the game.
But the umps did, I mean it was crazy. It was crazy. So the scoreboard says two outs, but as soon as a fly ball is hit, they show the scoreboard, it changes to one out. Right as the fly ball is hit. Hits at the center field, the runners go, runner from third touches home, runner from first goes around.
They both
acted,
they both treated it like there were two outs.
There was two. They treated it like it was two outs. The scoreboard said two outs, and they thought two outs. And so did the pitcher and the catcher. They all thought it was two outs. Anyway, they throw the ball in. They throw it over to first base. They double up the runner at first, and they go to the dugout. And the runners are like, what the hell? It said two outs. I thought there were two outs. The scoreboard said two outs. So the umpires get together. They decide, the rule says, before they got the tag out at first, before they doubled him up at first, the run had scored, so the run counts.
Even though he didn't tag up.
Even though he didn't tag up, the run scored because he scored before the double play. And apparently the rule book says that's correct.
There's a rule for if a scoreboard's wrong?
Not if the scoreboard is wrong. If, in fact, you get doubled up before the – but if you score before you get doubled up.
Yes, but he didn't tag.
Even without tagging up.
No.
It can't be.
No, that's not right. That's not right. This is a situation where they had to overrule everything, where they had to say, okay, we have to treat this like there's one out and there was a mistake made. So we're going to treat this like it's an out, but an out would have – we're going to say he since there was an action made – to first base to get the double play, the action would not have been at home, and the run would have scored had he tagged up with one out.
What
had he known
ruled.
There was one out, he would have tagged up. That's the only way they could get to that conclusion. And that's like this is wild. They had to literally do something that's never. I don't think we've ever seen that. I've never seen it in my life. Maybe a
Did
parent
you hear
who's had
the
too
announcers?
Much.
To, they said because he scored before the double play. and which is incorrect.
Well, yeah, but on a ground ball, that's the rule. On the ground ball, that wouldn't be the case. On a ground out, you know, if you ground into a double play and a run scores first, that wouldn't be a run.
And it shouldn't have been on a fly.
Well, they basically, that's what I'm saying. They're making up rules like we would as kids, where we're having to just sift through it and try to make something up because they'd never done this. Like, okay, well, had there been one out, he would have scored. He would have tagged up and scored. So
maybe.
Let's do this.
If he doesn't throw him out.
Let's give him the run, and then let's call it a double play. That way we take care of both of them. That's basically what they did. They just cut it in the middle. They said, let's give him a run. Let's give him the double play, and that's it. The only time you see stuff like that is if you're at a little league game and one of the parents has a styrofoam cup full of, you know, full of vodka and has a vodka and soda. They're drinking their ranch waters or tequila and soda. They're drinking ranch waters. They get a little liquored up and they got the wrong count. Either the wrong count on the board or the wrong out count on the scoreboard. This happened in a major league score. This happened in a major league venue.
Mm-hmm. How about that?
But we
and as soon as the ball was hit, you can see the scoreboard change from 2-1.
Yeah.
Like they were planning on it. Hey, let's fool them.
But we've seen NFL. We've seen NFL official screw up on four. You know what down it was.
Four down,
too.
Right? Right.
And somehow it got to the point. Like, how does somebody not stop the game? How does somebody not stop the game when they see it's the wrong down count on the markers? How does somebody not stop the game when they see there's two outs on the board? Did they just put two outs on the board? Like, was it only up there for about 15 seconds or something? How is somebody with Toronto not saying, hey? That's the wrong. They got the wrong outs on the board because the players were obviously looking at the board because they're running.
Because even the crack people of the playing the game are bored by baseball.
Well, and so, and they just didn't. They just couldn't.
You know what?
It out. Okay.
You know what? I'm never bored with saving money, thousands of dollars, and that's what Kent Jones does. When you're talking about Dream Rate Mortgage is where you go. And I don't care if you've bought 20 houses in your life. You're not as good at it. You're not going to get, you don't know all the hacks like Kent Jones does. Kent Jones has been doing this for 30 years. You don't know what the best loan is. You don't know what the USDA, the jumbo, the conventional, the niche loan, whatever it is. You don't know the best loans. You don't know how you can save with your title company. You don't know how you can save with your agent. And he knows how to save with agents. Maybe even get kickback on their commission to you. I mean, this is everything about it. Everything about it. Kent Jones knows more than you do. When you do it for 30 years and you're best, you got an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau, he knows when to lock in. He knows exactly how much money you need for down and everything else, and he can help you with that as well. Maybe even, you know, he can find a way where you have to put less down. You're like, well, I can't buy a house now. I don't have enough down. But maybe you do, because Kent Jones can figure it out. Kent Jones knows all the hacks. And so if you're going to buy a house, I don't care if it's your fifth house or your 100th house, call 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN, or go to 975loans.com.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. All right, we got a couple of giveaways. One is a spot. Are they both spots in the listener appreciation party? St. Arnold Brewery, August 28th, Needfa's, and Ducky McSweeney's. We know those two are going to be there, so we want you to be there as well. I tell you what, exactly 8:45, you call in at 713-780-3776 at exactly 8:45, and caller number three is going to go to the listener appreciation party. That's cool. Good stuff. If you can't make it, don't call. Don't just get the tickets. Okay? So, let's go. Who's on the line, Del? David wants to get in on the show. What do you say, David?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just want to talk about that play with Toronto and Boston, and that it actually makes a ton of sense to me. I mean, there's an order of operations kind of deal when it comes to these plays that you got to think of it as essentially being like if a runner had left third base early on a tag fly ball, the pitcher has to appeal to the bag, right? After that,
right. Yeah.
In this situation, the ball, you know, the defending team decided to go to first base instead of appealing the play at second originally, essentially, in the live play. So makes a lot of sense to me. You know, it's a logical outcome. I think the umpires got it right.
Yeah, I've had a few people weigh in on yeah. Twitter. One of the guys went to umpiring school, and he made the comment that it's considered a quote-unquote timing play. And the umps treat it like a timing play. Nick Allen scored the tying run before Cam Smith getting thrown out at second. Well, the Boston runner scored before the runner on first got doubled up. I went to umpiring school, and they covered this scenario. But you also had Longhorn Dimitri says, if he would have tagged third base instead of first base, no run would count.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's it. Because you're right. Because if they would have appealed, it's more or less an appeal to third base. If they would have gone to third instead of first, then because they're giving up that run. And he scored before the out at third. Yep. At first, rather. So, yeah. Okay. 713-780-3776. This can't be true. There's a picture of Wade Boggs, who is all bowed up. See if you can find a picture of Wade Boggs. He's fishing, and he is like jacked, like he looks like a 20, like, but he's got veins. Wade Boggs is all bowed up and will kick your ass right
now. Did he get off the? Oh my God, I can see him right here. This isn't AI either. Well, no. I don't think. And he's clearly flexing too, like yeah. You can see him holding, and he's. But this is insane. He looks like one of those guys on some kind of testosterone commercial for men age 60 plus, where you just can't believe they look like, you know, they look like male swimsuit models or something, but they have gray hair and a gray beard. That's what, yeah, this is insane. Wade Boggs is lifting.
Yeah, maybe he could hit a homer or two now.
Just another great day on the water from the Wade Boggs account.
Yep.
And he's just flexing as hard as he can.
He's fishing. It's boring. No, thank you. No, thanks.
Yeah, fishing, for me, fishing is boring.
Yeah, fishing's terrible. Don't ever fish. It just is a waste of time. It's too boring. So,
some of the comments here, the steroid era never ended for Wade. Respect. Damn, Wade, leave some pee for the rest of us. You got that on there. We would have won the World Series in 86 if you looked like this back then.
Mm-hmm.
Back yeah. to the beers, Boggsy.
Yeah. How many beers? That dude could drink beer now.
Mm-hmm.
That dude could drink beer.
Chuck Norris didn't die. He invaded Wade Boggs' body.
He did. He really kind of did. All right, we got. We're not even caught up yet. It's so bad, so bad. 7037803776 is the number to get in here. Let's do Dalton Schultz, Dell. Let's play Dalton Schultz. Or do you want a break? You want to catch up on breaks?
Well, I got to answer the phones for the winner.
Oh, yeah, the winner. And here's did you see what happened yesterday? Joey McGuire, head coach of Texas Tech, said he can't find any future games with Texas A&M. USC, NC State, and Mississippi State, because they're saying no or canceling series. We're talking to everybody and anybody. So far, everybody's told us no. So a lot of teams probably don't want to play Texas Tech because they know they got a billionaire behind them and they're going to keep buying players. But I wonder how much of that is the Sorsby stuff.
Yeah, I think it's...
I wonder what percentage, because, you know, no one's looking to take on a tough game than Texas Tech. Is going to have money, so they're probably going to continue to be pretty tough. But I guarantee you some of those teams are a little pissed about the Sorsby stuff and the way that was handled.
Yeah. No. Yeah, I mean, it was I think a lot of schools said, we're not dealing with them anymore. We're just not doing it. We're not going to if they're going to do this. And I think something about there's something about the billionaire thing too. Why would no? We're not.
Yeah,
doing
like no, dude, no, bro. They got a billionaire willing to spend.
Yeah,
we're not trying to play them.
Yeah, it's a no win situation for an A&M. You can't win.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you beat them. You're supposed to beat them. You lose to them, and it's and they bought a team that's able to compete with you. Nope, we're not doing that. And Sorsby probably had played a big role too. A lot of schools were pissed off about that. A lot of schools.
And it's Tech throwing their money around in the tampering game. Who knows how deep some of this stuff goes in terms of taking a player off a roster because this player knows you got a bag waiting for him. I would not Tech. We can remove them from the equation. I would not be surprised if some of that stuff does affect a scheduling agreement.
No. Absolutely.
Like, you just took this guy, now I got to play him?
Yeah.
I don't want to play you.
Well, and I'm not dealing with you anymore because I know how
you operate.
Unscrupulous you are.
Yeah.
I like unscrupulous. That's a good word.
It is a good word.
I think there's a lot of teams in college football who are pretending like other people are really unscrupulous and they're in those glass houses.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of teams.
I heard Dave.
Although I do know coaches that said, and they were pissed off, and then they're like, "F it, I'm going to do it too." You know what?
Were there some colleges who really weren't bad?
Yeah,
that weren't paying players before the NIL era. Were there colleges not paying players
that were actually cared about grades? Actually cared about not paying players. I know coaches that didn't pay players.
Did their whole team not pay players though?
Yeah, yeah.
So there were major colleges that weren't paying any
weren't
players.
Paying players, right?
There were no inducements or no spending money or anything.
I'm telling you, that's why the SEC is no longer dominating.
Well, I just don't believe that the Big Ten.
They were just get better
so Ohio
at
State
cheating.
Was just never ever like, sorry guys, we just can't.
Ohio
do this.
State won,
huh?
Yeah. Ohio State won. They were in they national won. Title games.
Well, I know, but what I'm saying is, you think a Big Ten team didn't?
I'm sure there were some.
I'm sure there did.
I'm sure there were some.
Yeah,
Big Ten teams
so it's
didn't.
Just the yeah. SEC was doing.
The ones that were at the top
SEC,
were.
But they, John said it. It was we talked over them. They were the best at it. Now they can no longer just be the best at it because
that's why
it's out in the open and you see.
Well,
the
that's
results.
The thing. But
everybody's
you could
caught up because they're not cheating better than everybody.
Well, what the big difference is there's a lot of teams that were still paying illegal inducements to a certain amount of players. It still happened. The big difference is once you okayed it. Then you can now fundraise. You can fundraise because there are going to be some people. There are going to be some. You're going to have some alumni, some high dollar alumni. Said I'm not giving money for illegal inducements. I'm not doing that. That's illegal. We could get in trouble, even though you're probably not going to get in trouble. But now that it's okay, now that it's legal, they've probably brought in a whole new sector at universities of alumni willing to put money in who wouldn't have done it previously when it was illegal. This is legal. So yeah. You're right. Some of the guys who, you know, Mark Cuban probably wasn't going to fund Indiana trying to illegally induce people, and now he's kicking in.
Well, apparently he wasn't. They were 3-9 2 years ago. He wasn't. Apparently he wasn't buying too many players.
No.
He probably didn't believe in the program, and rightfully so.
And well, and I'm not. Cignetti, I'm not sure they.
That creates belief.
I mean, they're not. Mm-hmm. They weren't stealing. They were getting guys from the portal who were FCS or castoffs from other teams. That's what made last year so incredible. It's not like Mark Cuban came in there and said, we're going to steal that center off. Well, the center last year, Notre Dame kicked him off. Notre Dame said, listen, we just don't have a spot for
you.
But
they outspent for the Heisman Trophy winner. They did outspend
for the quarterback. They got a quarterback. He was not the highest.
No, he was one of the
highest.
They
did it the first year, too. I mean, they were in a playoff the year before.
They brought in O'Rourke, right?
But what I'm saying is they got in there without. They got in the playoffs not because they were spending a ton of money on big time players. They just filled their roster with competitive guys. Not
and
pro.
By the way, they coach better.
Not pros.
I talked
they
to a guy that was
too.
On that James Madison staff. He said they're unbelievable how good what good coaches are.
Absolutely, that's what I'm saying. They coached hungry players. Mm-hmm. They're not filled. They weren't buying pro level players. That's not what they were doing. They just got the right ones. Now it's going to change. That's like when Gonzaga used to be really good when they first became really good at basketball in like the early 2000s, and they weren't cranking out pro players. They just were coached really well. Then eventually it turns into you have that success and pro prospects start going to your school.
We'll no longer be able to talk about them as the the overwhelming underdog story. They are paying players from Penn State and Miami and TCU.
This year's portal's way different than last year's portal.
Yep. All right. And, you know, speaking of paying people, how are you paying your people? Are you paying them with HRP? Are you doing it right? Are you doing it as well as you possibly can? Are you doing it with the technology that is second to none? Proprietary technology that Mike Holley told me, he said, man, there's a bunch of companies that are coming after him, want to buy his technology. And he's like, no, you know what? I decided I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. Let's keep on making business great in the city of Houston and beyond. They're all over the country. I think they've got companies all over, and I think in every state, if I'm not mistaken. I know they're huge, but they're here local. It's a Houston company. You get the personalized attention of guys that are here on the street, going to be at your business, going to help you along the way, going to partner with you, going to make sure that everything, you get to know them, you befriend them, you go to their crawfish cookout is the best crawfish cookout you'll ever go to. It's just awesome. I'm telling you, you'll feel like HRP is part of your business. HRP is going to make sure that your business runs as smoothly as it possibly can and make it so much better for you to sell whatever widget you sell. So you're looking for the best way to get that payroll, the taxes, the 401ks, all of those things to your business, the stuff that you have to do. HRP.net. 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.